Samson Raphael Hirsch, who actually was born in the same year that Geiger was born in 1810, and lived a long life, as Geiger did, was clearly, for a period of time, friendly with Geiger. They knew each other. And they were arch rivals. They stood for different positions of Judaism. But they clearly came out of the same culture, and in many respects, they could understand each other perfectly. For Hirsch, Wissenschaft, or the science of Judaism, the academic scholarship of Judaism, was equally important. But it was also insufficient. Because, like Geiger, academic Judaism alone will not lead us to understanding the faith of living, breathing Jews. And therefore, there is a need to construct some kind of ideology, some kind of understanding that will appeal, that will engage contemporary Jews who have lost the faith, who have lost their willingness to remain within the Jewish fold. But unlike Geiger, Hirsch has a different position from which he responds. And it's very important that we, from the start, define that position carefully. There are really two questions which Jews face according to Samson Raphael Hirsch. There is the cultural question, and there is the religious question. And notice that Geiger had not separated the two, but in the case of Hirsch, as you will see, they are separate. On the cultural question, whether Judaism is to be preserved in its pre-emancipatory state, Hirsch's answer is no. Jews need to attain secular knowledge. They need to go to the university. They need to participate in the larger social and cultural world of their contemporaries. No longer can you ghettoize Jews. No longer can you isolate them, insulate them from the outside world. To be engaged, to be part of a process, a social process of emancipation, Jews need to know German. They need to know German literature. They need to know philosophy. They need to know history. They need to be educated. They need to wear and look and dress and act like their Christian contemporaries. In other words, on the cultural question, there is no backing down. For this Orthodox rabbi, namely Samson Raphael Hirsch, to be culturally equipped to deal with a larger world is something that is not only desirable, but obligatory. But then there is the religious question. And on this question, Hirsch is emphatic in denying that we can give up on the sacred legacy of Judaism, which is that moment on Sinai when Moses received the law as embodied in 613 commandments, as the rabbis interpreted over time, gave it to the Jewish people and expected them to say, we will accept it and we will do it. The Hebrew words for that is naseh v'nishma. We will listen to it and we will, naseh, we will do it. Sorry, I got it reversed. We will do it and we will understand it. Very interesting that I quote that line because, as you will see, that very much reflects Hirsch's theology of Judaism. On the religious question, then, there is no backing down. A Jew is a Jew who accepts all of the commandments of Judaism, all of the ceremonial law of Judaism, as interpreted by the rabbis, because they were ultimately divine. They were given at Sinai by God. And you do not fool with the divine law. There's no such thing as dividing up eternal truths of reason and ceremonial law. They are all one and the same. Every commandment is equal. Moral law is just as important as ceremonial law. They all come from God, and therefore they all need to be observed. Notice then that Hirsch's position, which I'm going to define as neo-orthodoxy or modern orthodoxy, is neither the position of Geiger on the one hand, in terms of allowing the individual to decide for himself or herself what to observe, nor is it the position of a more traditional Orthodox camp, which is unwilling to even enter the larger cultural space of non-Jews. It is a middle-of-the-road position in a certain sense. Now, we'll define another middle-of-the-road position with conservative Judaism. But for our present purposes, since we only have the traditional Judaism on the one hand and Reform Judaism on the other, Hirsch is somewhere in the middle. In other words, he is willing to compromise on the cultural question, but not to compromise on the religious question. Now, what do we mean when we say Hirsch is neo-Orthodox? Well, here I want to refer to Hirsch's first book, which is perhaps his most accessible and most interesting book, called the 19 letters, or the 19 letters of Ben Uziel.